Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community from wherever you're listening to us around the nation. We are here with, right now, we start our program off looking at the election, speaking with Dee Dee Guttenplan, who is, nation's editor-at-large, to look at what's happening, what happened in the nation yesterday for the beginning of our program. Dee Dee, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Great to be back, Mark.
So let's take a look at this election that happened yesterday, and let's start with the Republicans and what your analysis is of what transpired yesterday and this kind of plan. I was reading John Nichols' piece in The Nation this morning, and it really struck me that the analogy was good about the Stop Goldwater campaign of 1964 and how this is the Stop Trump campaign is in some ways analogous, but not
well,
as together.
But as John said, the Stop Trump campaign makes the Stop Goldwater campaign, which, as we know, didn't work,
right,
look like a well-oiled machine. I mean, these guys are shambolic. And I have thought and written for quite a long time that Donald Trump is the likely Republican nominee. If I had to bet on it, I would bet on him getting there before the convention, given the way things went yesterday and given the Republican primary schedule, which, you know, the Democrats have superdelegates, the Republicans have winner-take-all primaries.
Right.
And their aim is essentially the same, which is to consolidate the party behind the likeliest winner without having to endure a long slog.
So let's again with the Republicans. Where do you think this may take us? I mean, there is a chance. I think a chance that Trump could win the delegates he needs. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But if that does happen, what do you think will happen? If it doesn't happen, what do you think will happen?
Well, I mean, if it doesn't happen, it's going to be interesting and ugly in Cleveland, where I'll be for The Nation. And, you know, I suppose at the last minute I'll decide whether to pack my football helmet. But I doubt it will come to that, because I think Trump will probably just win the nomination, in part because the people who are opposed to him have shown all along that although they really don't want him to be the nominee, they are really not willing to risk taking him on directly in any meaningful way, i.e. by saying publicly that they would not support him, would not back him. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. Now, I suspect that the more interesting question for your listeners is what that is going to mean in November, because
mm-hmm.
You know, you say, well, Trump could well win the nomination. Could he well win the election? And, of course, the conventional wisdom on that all along has been no way, absolutely not possible. Hillary Clinton will roll right over him. This will be a landslide which will give the Democrats not just the White House but the Senate and the House, possibly. And I guess I just don't see it that way. I mean, I'd like to see it that way. Let me make it clear. You know, I think that Donald Trump, the prospect of a Trump presidency is very dangerous, certainly dangerous enough to send me into the line for Hillary Clinton in November, should she indeed, as looks likely, win the Democratic nomination. But I think that it's far from a sure thing, in part because, you know, Trump has defied expectations all along.
Right.
And probably because this is a really, I don't know whether I'm allowed to use a four-letter word,
probably not.
This is a really rotten year to be an establishment candidate on either party ticket.
So that is, and one of the things that in one of the pieces this morning, it may have been John's piece, that they talked about the latest study that came out showing that people who live in the most depressed areas where jobs have been lost will either go right or left. But
what we're beginning to see is not just the sort of correlation between burned out areas of the country, areas, for example, like Pittsburgh, you know, or like Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where I was last month, which was once the second largest steel mill in the world and which produced most of the Liberty ships that won
right.
the naval battles of World War II. And the mill that produced those ships is now a Sands casino owned by Sheldon Adelson, Republican donor and the man who won't let unions organize on his properties. So, you know, if you're a union steel worker in Bethlehem, you're having the knife twisted in you every day. And what has begun to dawn on people, although there were those who said this quite a long time ago, including Bernie Sanders, by the way, is that the mechanism for turning those disaffected areas of the country into either left Democrat or right Republican areas is trade policy. In other words, on the coasts and in the sort of comfortable, you know, Starbucks milieus that journalists tend to congregate, maybe nobody gives a damn about trade policy. But if you're a steel worker, or if you're somebody, as I saw in Iowa, in Newton, where as soon as NAFTA was passed, they shipped, Maytag shipped jobs to Mexico and opened a maquiladora, and by 2006 the whole plant was shut down, and where Donald Trump had no trouble gathering, you know, 500 people on a weekday afternoon to hear him in the middle of a very cold October, you care a lot about trade policy. And, you know, although in response to pressure from Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton has moved in the right direction on trade policy, she's still Bill Clinton's wife. He's the guy that pushed through NAFTA. She helped push through NAFTA. She loved every trade pact until TPP. And, you know, Donald Trump is going to be able to hang those around her neck, and he's going to have a lot less scruple in doing it than Bernie Sanders did.
So I do think that it's important to kind of, with that part of your analysis, that people should not be sanguine about this coming election just because Trump is the candidate for Republicans if they, in fact, don't like Trump. I mean, there are people who are worried about his kind of fascistic tendencies. I mean, it doesn't mean he could very well win. I think many people have been saying that because there are a lot of people who are disgruntled about Clinton. Will they come over in the general election and vote? Many people say, I'll hold my nose and vote for Clinton, but will the majority of voters actually do that? Well, the majority of the people that Sanders has gathered around him in his campaign, will they move over when he moves over?
Well, you know, there are lots of different answers to that question. I mean, as I already said, I'll move over. I asked the guy who was organizing the Sanders campaign in St. Petersburg, Florida, where they'd been organizing a campaign for a year before Sanders or any of his people showed up in the state. So these are people who were really, you know, in the fight, prepared to stay with it. And I said, well, what are your people going to do if Bernie doesn't win the nomination? And this was in Florida back in February when it was far from clear that he wasn't going to win the nomination. And they said, well, a third of them will just vote for Hillary, a third of them won't vote for her under any circumstances, and a third will do what Bernie says.
Right.
So, the split may differ. You know, it may be that many more of them will come round to Clinton as Clinton supporters who, remember, these were the people who coined the phrase PUMA, Party Unity My Ass, in response to Obama's victory. These were Clinton voters who were going to sit home on their hands rather than vote for Obama, and of course, you know, 90% of them came around. And it may also be the case that with Donald Trump on the opposing side of the ballot, that will be true for Sanders voters. But it may not, and one thing I want to say very clearly is that I think it's really Clinton's responsibility and her campaign's responsibility to woo those voters, and the best way to start wooing them is to stop condescending to them.
Right, and it's going to be really interesting to watch, and maybe I'll join you in Cleveland. And when we do this next time, Dede Guttenplan, we'll be for a longer time, and I'll make sure we do a podcast for the web so you can use any language you'd like.
Well, muchas gracias, amigo. Next time.
Thank you so much. Dede Guttenplan is the nation's editor at large. Thanks for being with us once again.
Take care.
Take care.